Okay, attention, everybody. You know, I come to a Sabre meeting, and I introduce a guy like David Smith, who is a name I've seen for years on the Sabre list and in the research journals. It's, you know, these people really exist. David just tells me he was a college professor for 40 years, University of Delaware, the Fighting Blue Hens. I guess this is sort of a corollary to Eliza's presentation. And David, maybe you can comment on my batting glove theory. But why do games take so long? David Smith.
Delaware is the only Blue Hens of any college team in the country. I got to admit that. Well, game length is more common topic all the time, as we just heard. And there's a poster presentation going on right now that talks about it. And a lot of people have given a lot of different reasons for why they think game time is increasing. Depends on who's doing the analysis, what they think is important. I decided to take as long a view as possible using as many games as possible. So this is the opposite of anecdotal stuff. I'm trying to use large data sets like I always do. So here's what I had to work with. I had 183,000 games. Which is the last 108 seasons. It's actually 110 seasons, but I couldn't use 1918 and 1919 because I found almost no published data on time of game for 1918 and 1919. I checked like 15 newspapers. The Sporting Life ended publication in 1917. They were great, and Sporting News did not pick it up very well. So most of my analysis will leave out those two seasons, which is a little annoying. In order to make fair comparisons, I decided I had to leave out extra inning games because, of course, extra inning games are going to take more time. And if I'm going to try to look for factors, I should move them out. And I also removed short games, either stopped by rain or curfew or something like that. So I'm only looking at what I call regulation length games. And those are really of two types. They're either 8.5 innings because the home team did not bat in the bottom of the ninth, or they're 9 innings because they did. So it's about 81,000 games, they're 8.5 innings, that's 44%. 9 inning games is about 84,000 or 83.5. That's 45%, and together that's 90%. So out of that 183,000, I've got 164,000 that are regulation games, and that's what I'm mostly going to be studying. And so that's 90% of the total. Home teams win about 54% of these games. So first piece of data is to look at average game length, all games, including extra inning games. It's the only time I'm not taking out those long games, just so we get the full range of what's possible. And this is 1908 through 2017, minus 1918, 1919. Several points to note. The time goes up and down. It's certainly not an absolutely solid straight line. But if you do the regression of the best fit straight line, you get a R-squared value of 0.94, which means 94% of the variance in game time is explained by the passage of time, which is an extraordinarily powerful signal. There's interesting differences as you start the dead ball era, start the lively ball era, during the wars there's times. And I've marked three special points there with the red arrows. The first one is the first year that the average game time was over 2 hours. That's 1934. The next one is the first time the average game time was over 2.5 hours. That's 1954. Next one is the first time the average game time was over 3 hours. That's 2000. So it took a lot longer to get that last half hour. And you notice since 2000, it went down a little bit, and then it's come way back up. And the longest ever was last year when the average game time was 188 minutes. That's 3 hours and 8 minutes was the average game last year. I started doing this research last summer when at Sabre 47 in New York, my friend Steve Steinberg came up to me and said, what's the relationship between number of pitches and length of game? I said, that's a neat question. So I decided to look at that. So before I can answer that, I have to tell you a little bit about the nature of our pitch data. First of all, we have two basic sets of pitch data. First, from 1947 to 1964, we had the score sheets of Alan Roth, who was the Dodgers statistician, worked with Branch Rickey for those years, and then with the Dodgers after Rickey left. We have 2,700 games from that period, for those 18 years, pitch by pitch. Now, they're all Dodger games, so all you always worry is there a bias because it's one team, but it's over 18 years, so how constant is a team over 18 years? And the other is from 1988 to the 2017, the last 30 years, where we have every pitch of every game. And this is the project score sheet and MLB data, and that's about 69,000 games. So between us two, we've got an awful lot of data to be working on. So of all those games, if you take just the regulation games, there's like 64,000 regulation length games. And here's the answer to Steve's question. Where you graph a number of minutes as a function of pitches, and there is a strong relationship, R squared of 0.73, 73% explanation. But if you notice, the range in the number of pitches over those 9 inning games is ridiculous, and the range of minutes is incredible. Let me summarize it this way. 8.5 and 9 inning games. The minimum number of pitches I found was 145 pitches. That's the two teams combined. 145 pitches for 8.5 inning game, 178 for 9. Maximum pitches, 430, 430. So that's an unbelievable range for the number of pitches for 8.5 and 9 inning games. How about time? Minimum times, 93 minutes and 101. Maximum, 271 and 285. 285 is 4 hours and 45 minutes for a 9-inning game. It's the, what is it? It's the Red Sox and the Yankees. In 2000, the game was 14 to 11. Here's the averages. 274 to 289 for pitches, minutes 166 to 176. I translate that to say that playing at the bottom of the ninth, on average, adds 10 minutes, and it takes 15 pitches to do over all of the data that I have. So I decided with how important the number of pitches is, I started looking for things that would increase the number or affect the number of pitches per game. And here's the first thing I did. Let's look at scoring. What is the scoring, both teams combined, that's the only way to do this, of average number of runs over all these years? And first, there's huge variations. It starts out low, it goes down and down till 1920, lively ball comes in and it jumps up. It gets ridiculously high at that one point in 1930, as we all know. It goes down, up and down, a little bit of variation, but fundamentally flat. There's certainly not a long upward trend that matches the time of game. So scoring doesn't answer why the games have gotten longer. It's not that we have more scoring. You notice that the last 20 years, the level of scoring is still not what it was in the 20s and 30s. We're still scoring less than we did 90 years ago, but those games took 1 hour less to play. Here's the number of hits per game. That turns out to be quite parallel to the number of runs per game, which is not a terrible surprise. In fact, they correlate with each other very strongly. But again, there's no long upward trend. They have not gotten more and more hits per game as time goes by. So that doesn't explain the length. There's walks, you know, roughly parallel, but they also didn't go up very much over time. So runs, hits, and walks have stayed within variations with constant. There's no big, long, steady upward trend. On the other hand, strikeouts have changed unbelievably over this time. You find strikeouts went down when the lively ball came in, went down to just over 5 strikeouts per game combined. It went up a little bit as the lively ball came in. Then it started going way up until you get to 1968, when, of course, they lowered the mound again. And from then, 1968, it starts to drop. And the DH comes in, which didn't have much to do with all of that. And since the low point there in 1981, it's gone up and up and up and up, always with variations. And the last 4 years have been an extraordinary rate. Last year, the average number of strikeouts for a regulation length game was 16.2. That's almost one per team per half inning. Last night, we had over 20 strikeouts in the first 9 innings, by the way. So this is completely fitting with that. Another thing to do with this is to ask how often do each of the... Oh, sorry, I want to look at home runs as well. Home runs is a separate category. Because home runs do show a change over time, which is not a surprise to anybody. We have a strong correlation, almost 80% of the variance explained here. There's big variations. Goes up when the lively ball is introduced. It goes down in World War II. There's a 40% decrease during World War II. A lot of people have attributed this to the construction of the ball that wasn't made out of good stuff during World War II. Then it goes back up very, very, very. We have a big rise in the 90s, and then it went down again starting in 2000. But the last 4 years, I've seen a huge increase. The rate has gone up, in the last 4 years, has gone up 46%. So last year, there were 2.49 home runs hit per game. Now, I give you all this detail because I want to make the point that the strongest correlation I found is between home runs and strikeouts. No other pair of variables, hits and runs correlate pretty well. But of all these others, home runs and strikeouts are very strongly related. And I'm led to the conclusion that many other people have led, that this correlation is, in fact, cause and effect. The batters are swinging harder, trying to hit home runs, and in fact, they will, and as a result, they will also be striking out more. You've got StatCast data, has exit velocities and launch angles and everything. These guys are aware of all of this, and they're actively learning how to hit the ball further. But when you're swinging that hard, you're going to miss it more often, so you get sort of a boom or bust phenomenon. I decided to look at the average number of pitches for each kind of event, and I looked at 4 different things. One is balls hit in play. For the average play that has the ball hit in play, how many pitches does it take? I looked at strikeouts, I looked at walks, and I looked at hit by pitch. There aren't many of those, but I've got the data. So here's what I find. Oh, I had, before I leave, 1987. We all know the crazy 1987 season where everything went nuts, went up 16% in 1 year, down 28% the next year. and there were studies done on the resilience of the ball and so on. Nobody's ever really come up with a satisfactory explanation. 1987 is just, you know, a mystery of the ages. So correlating home runs and strikeouts together, again, 70% variance explained, a very strong relationship. There's no question that home runs and strikeouts are directly related to each other. Now, how many pitches does it take to do each kind of event? Here's balls in play. Over the last 30 years, these are the years I restricted to this set because this is the period for which we have every pitch of every game. During this time, the average number of pitches has increased from about 3.1 up to 3.4. It's not a big increase, but it's there. It has increased. It now takes a little bit, a few more pitches, to put a ball in play. Okay? Strikeouts. Strikeouts, amazingly, haven't changed at all. It takes about 4.7 pitches for a strikeout. That's almost unchanged over the last 30 years, which I find amazing. Walks have also gone up, about 5.5 pitches to 5.8. Again, not huge, but it is a slow, steady increase. Hit by pitch even went up a little bit. So we have these three kinds of events that have changed. Balls in play, walks, and hit by pitch. It takes more pitches to do them. Strikeouts, absolutely flat. We haven't increased that at all. Now, the other way to look at this is to ask how often do each of these kinds of events happen? What percentage of plays are these things? So the first thing I did was break balls in play into two categories, those that are outs and those that are hits. So here is the number of percentage of plays that are balls in play that are outs. And you find there's been a decrease over the last 30 years from about 55% down to 45%. That's pretty dramatic. That out, we're still making 27 outs a game, but we're not doing it by hitting balls in play as much as we did. And if that's going down, what's going up? Well, strikeouts are going up while balls in play are going down. We're trading in balls, outs on balls in play for outs on strikeouts. And just to finish it off, there's walks. Walks have changed almost not at all in that time. Hit by pitch, small numbers, nothing here. And hits haven't changed. So of the different number of pitches for the different kinds of events, the two that are dramatically different are strikeouts and balls in play. And it works out, if you do the math on this, it takes 1.5 more pitches to strike out than it does to put a ball in play. So if you're trading in outs on balls in play for strikeouts, you're not just changing how often they happen, you're throwing more pitches to strike somebody out than you are to get them to hit a ground ball to second base. I also looked at things that I call non-playing events and not results like base hits and so on that affect the time of the game. First is time between pitches, which we just heard a wonderful presentation about. And it's getting studied more and more, and you find people discussing that early in the game, it's different from late in the game. We certainly know the runners on base or not runners on base. FanGraphs has done this great thing that shows over the last 10 years, it's increased about 2.5 seconds time between pitches. That doesn't sound like much, but you plug in 2.5 seconds for the average number of pitches, that's 8 minutes a game. So in the last 10 years, average game of length of 9-inning game has gone up 14.5 minutes. 8 minutes of that is from the increase in how long it takes between pitches. Time between innings. If it's not time between pitches, what about time between innings? This is pretty hard to get data on because the time between innings is not systematically recorded that I'm aware of, and it's only recent. There's been rules on this over the years, but they've all been all over the place. So only recently they've been enforcing it correctly or firmly, and you do that now. If you notice last night, the lower right-hand corner of the scoreboard, there's a clock there for the time between innings, and it's 2 minutes, and by God, you better be playing at the end of 2 minutes. So they really are enforcing this more strictly. But as interesting as this is, it has clearly not been a constant over a lot of years. I would have no idea in 1935 how long it took to between innings. We're just sort of stuck with that. Replay reviews. Well, replays have been with us for about a decade now. And it turns out there are, on average, there's one replay for every two games. Okay, last night we had two replays in the same game. But that's what averages are all about, right? There's on average is one every two games. And these replays are, I said, one every two games. About the same as last year. 10 years ago, when they first started, there were a few more replays. The average replay, according to Major League Baseball, takes 1 minute and 23 seconds with 59 seconds on the headset. That's what they're doing. That does not count the 30 seconds lead time you might have where you are allowed to decide whether or not you're going to do it. So the real cost of a replay time in terms of time is higher. But the other factor is there's fewer arguments than there used to be. Ejections are down. There's fewer arguments because managers are going, wah, wah, and they're done. They're not going to go out and argue. So that might argue for a shorter game. So all in all, I don't really know what the contribution to replays is to lengthening the game. Maybe it lengthens a little, but not a whole lot. Visits to the mound. We know the visits to the mound have been talked about a lot this year. For the first time, they put in a limit of 6 per team per game, and you get extras for the extra inning. And they have this little scoreboard. I'm sure you all noticed that. It's like the mound visits remaining of how many times each team can do it. And if the somebody goes to the mound and they don't make a pitcher change, it doesn't count as a visit to the mound. And this is the one, I saved this one for the last of these because it was the most surprising to me. Relief pitchers, which I've done multiple papers on, if you may remember, especially mid-inning changes. There's two kinds of relief pitcher changes, those that happen at the start of an inning and those that happen in the middle of an inning. It seems to me that changes at the start of an inning should take about as much time as having the same pitcher come from the dugout back to the mound. I can't imagine it's going to take longer to walk in from the bullpen than it is to walk from the dugout, you know, maybe 5 seconds. I don't think that's it. Mid-inning changes should take an awful lot longer. So I decided to look at both kinds of changes, and here's what I find. The top line, the one in blue, is total relievers per game. Now, this could go back to 1908 because retro sheet data will allow that. And you find that there's been a dip. There's a big dip in World War I. There's a dip in World War II. You get to about 1980, it goes up and up and up and up and up. Last year, the average was 6.4 relief pitchers per game. This year, through games of last night, I calculated this morning, it's 6.52. So that's right in line with an extra tenth of a relief pitcher per game, two teams combined, for every year that we pass. The bottom line, the red line, is the mid-inning changes. Now, this only goes back to 1939 because you need the full play-by-play for every game to really do this. And 1939 is the earliest season for which we have full play-by-play. But we're getting more. That's where we are right now. You look from 1939 to the present, it's gone up. It's actually doubled in that time. But it's nowhere near the rate of increase of total relief pitchers. And you look like the last 20 years since 1994, it's hardly changed at all. I was flabbergasted by this result. I was so sure that this was a major factor, I had to check it about 7 different ways. So it says there's many more relief pitchers, but it's not the mid-inning changes causing a longer game. So what are all these extra relief pitchers? It's the specialists, the 7th, the 8th, the 9th inning guys, all these dedicated role players. Those are the extra pitchers, but those aren't causing the time of the game problem, which I think is really interesting. So let's look at pitches per game. Got the two sets there, the Roth data, the first part, the blank where we don't have anything, and then the more modern stuff. Notice that in the Roth era, there's certainly variation, but his pitch totals varied between 260 and 270. And the modern era, where it's stabilized, were between 280 and 290. A couple of interesting things. If you look at some of the Roth data, even with its scatter, that a lot of those values kind of look at the same as the beginning of the modern era. They're pretty much about the same thing. Now, we don't know what the shape of the curve is between 1965 and 1987, and we never will. But note that the two lowest points were the last two from Roth in 1963 and 1964. That was the fewest pitches per game. And what happened then? That's when they raised the mound. And you got this huge advantage for pitchers, and you're not getting as many pitches. I'm convinced that's what that is. So this is not a new phenomenon. Herm Krabbenhoff pointed this out to me, that Sporting News in 1909 published this headline, Why Games Drag. Ben Johnson, who's the founder and president of the American League, was gaga about game time. And he decided there was too much practice time taken between innings. Specifically, the infielders throwing the ball around after the pitcher's done warming up. That takes way too much time. And he had the concordance with a veteran umpire, Tom Brown, who said, the practice doesn't belong on the field. That's 1909. 1925, Johnson has not given up yet. And here's an article, and he said, President Johnson wants to speed up the games again. I got a quote from the article. Contests in the AL this season have frequently run more than 2 hours. And Johnson wants to know the reason why. A report must be sent to President Johnson on all games running over 2 hours with the reasons for the delays. If it is because of arguments, guilty athletes will be punished. For the record, I note that American League games 1925, 40% of them took more than 2 hours. Now, you may have noticed in my slides in the background, there's a grayed out picture, which I will now bring to the front. That's Alan Roth. The first sabermetrician, the one whose data collection with Branch Rickey, hit directions, pitch type, pitch location as well as pitch data. We are so fortunate to have his 2,700 games. We all owe a huge amount to him, and I had to pay a little bit of homage to Roth. Okay, that's it. Okay, 6 minutes for questions, he says.
Yeah. Yeah, is there any data yet available for this season to show how the limiting the trips to the mound has lowered the time of the game?
Time of the game is up this year.
It's actually up? Okay.
Not much, but the answer is no. It's made no difference whatsoever. But if you look at last night, each team used two, I think, in the first, or only one. I've been to 10 games this year. I haven't seen that count get down below three. So I'm sure it matters. When I first heard the limit visits to the mound, I said, okay, six, really? You know, I mean, three might be reasonable, but six doesn't seem to be much of a limitation. Bill?
Yeah, Dave, do you have any data on the number of foul balls hit today versus several years ago?
I do. That's an excellent question. And the answer is that hasn't changed much either. That that's one of the reasons that the number of pitches to strike out hasn't changed much, because they're hitting foul balls at about the same rate. And, of course, for the other plays, you're putting it in play sooner than that. But that really hasn't been much of a change.
You showed us a few things like strikeouts going up and home runs. Is it possible to do kind of a checksum to see if you add up the effect of those things, if it explains the increase in the length of time?
Well, remember that strikeouts take 1.5 more pitches than a home run or for any other ball put in play. And so you figure out on the percentage basis of those, how many there are, and the 23 seconds between pitches. That account, I didn't do the exact projection like I did for the 2.5 second increase, but that's got to be several minutes a game because of that. It's a wonderful question. I didn't do that, follow that through to the end on that one.
Oh. I think the reason the replays don't add to the time of the game is if you didn't have them, you'd have managers and players arguing with the umpires.
Yeah, I mentioned that. I absolutely agree. I think that's absolutely true.
Would you say there's any correlation between length of games and length of times of games and night baseball? Because in the days before lights, games would be called off earlier, and there's kind of a spirit of getting the games over with as quickly as possible.
That's a great question. I did look at that, and of course, night games started in 38, and it turns out that before that, there certainly were extra inning games, but there are a lot of games that ended early because of rain and curfew and dark. And that turns out to balance all of that out. That did not make a difference. I thought it might, but it did not.
Hi there. Do you have any analysis or any sense of which is more time consuming? The events that are related to umpires' activities, such as not enforcing the batter's box rule or making calls that might be challenged and then consume replay calls that aren't related to that, like pitcher changes and relief pitchers and things like that.
Yeah, I would love to have that, but I don't know of any way to collect that in a systematic way. Love the big data sets. If I can do it with 150,000 games, I'm happy. If I'm down to like 5 games, I'm very leery about that.
Do you have any sense of it personally after having done all your other data?
Well, we've heard
collecting?
Several people commenting about the lack of enforcement of the existing rules. And that's true. You got to keep your 1 foot in the box. You can't.
Yes,
the batters can't leave the dirt circle. It's all anecdotal. It seems to me batters don't leave the circle around the plate as much as they did. But I can't give anything quantitative about that.
And
I really like having the quantitative answers to that.
Two quick ones. What creates the lack of the data after 65? Why aren't there's gap where you say we'll never get the data?
The other question is, how in the world is it that we have anything before 1988? Yeah. I mean, it's extraordinary that we have those Roth pitches. People did not systematically keep pitch data. They're a sporadic game here and there. But systematic keeping of pitch-by-pitch data was Alan Roth in 1947. No one did it before him. And once he stopped, no one else did it until Project Scoresheet started doing it in 1988.
Okay, one other quick one. So total pitches per game is up, but the average pitch per event didn't seem to change that much.
No, the average pitch per event is up for everything except strikeouts.
Okay.
So it takes another half a pitch for put a ball in play. It takes another 3/4 of a pitch to walk somebody. You add all of those up, and in fact, those come together.
Thank you.
A quick back-of-the-envelope calculation from your data. It looks like every ball in play out that's turned into a strikeout out adds 50 seconds to the game.
Yeah. That's about right. Yeah, I did that too. My envelope is up here, though.
Has anybody done any research on whether anyone really cares about the length of the game?
I do.
What? Well, the commissioner is real excited about it. And I got to be catty. I don't know what else to say. I just heard somebody say it's the media. I have the great good fortune when I go to games these days, I mostly sit in the press box to watch what's going on. The Phillies are very nice to me and they let me in. Those guys up there complain about time of game starting in the fourth inning. Oh, this one's going to be home till 11 o'clock. And I look at it and say, well, if you hate your job so much, why don't you quit? You know, this is, I get really grouchy about that. The greatest anger I ever had directed at me in a press box was I was in Detroit, and they were playing a really, really fast game. And as the ninth inning started, the game was like 2 hours and 5 minutes. And I did a quick calculation of the last 10 games that had been less than 2:15, and I gave it to the PR director so he could announce it at the end of the game. He almost ripped my head off. You don't talk about how long the game is playing. Well, you just jinxed it. It's now going to take 30 more minutes because you said that. Oh, God. I don't know why they're so crazy. It's like they don't want to be there. I that's really way too catty, but I get very annoyed by that. Bart?
Dave, I have a day job, and honestly, I care about how long the games are because I actually have to get up in the morning and go to work.
Well, I'm retired, so I don't worry much about
that. I would prefer. I think that it is important. I appreciate the fact that they're looking at length of game and trying to figure out if there are ways to make it shorter for a whole lot of reasons, and I'm not a millennial, so that's what I'll say.
My bottom line of all of this is, we've got more and more strikeouts, which take more pitches. I mean, that is, if I have to look at a single cause, and it's not a single cause, but I have to look at the single most predominant cause, it's more strikeouts are making games longer. That's really where it's going. Okay?
Thanks, David. We got 5 minutes and then another presentation. Thank you, David.